Welcome to La Liga Weekly. Note, La Liga, not Champions League, because no one's interested in that stupid old competition. Unless Real Madrid win it, in which case everything in Spanish football is fine. It's all a fit-up anyway. How can honestly run Spanish clubs compete with the likes of Club Brugge and Eintracht Frankfurt? For me, Europe's always about the Thursdays. Football on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. I'd rather go out with my wife, if I'm honest. So it was about time those UEFA-loving sweats at Real Madrid were taken down a peg or two. I know, let's give a dodgy handball against them in the penalty area. See how they like it. That's when Barca were able to cut the gap to a single point. Xavi's team have kept clean sheets in 10 of their 12 La Liga matches. That obviously proves that their defence is the best in the world. Terry Gibson is here to explain why that is exactly right and tell us that Marcos Alonso is a great centre-back. You'll notice there's an eight-point gap after that. Back to the glory days. Hooray. Atleti lost to Cadiz. Yes. Conceding in the first minute to a side that hadn't previously had a shot on target for 14 months. The most self-sabotaging act from Atletico Madrid since... last week when Yannick Carrasco cleared the ball off the Leverkusen goal line and knocked his side out of the Champions League. The oldest two teams in the Champions League this season, one Sevilla, two Atleti. Bring back Quique Setién, I say. Oh, what's that? Villarreal lost 1-0 with just three shots on target, none of which was a backfield volley. Bring back Unai Emery, I say. Setién out. The Patreons, Terry, are a wonderful set of people. Patreon.com/L. They are. So we had a quick breakdown of the ills of Spanish football the other day. Well, actually, we're a detailed one with the Patreons, and we've got some feedback that I will share. But first of all, hang on, so the Patreons who are seeing it can see this beautiful cover of a new book. So I've got a book out, everybody. So I'm going to plug my book. It's an interesting forum on which to plug a book about English football, obviously, because we're here to talk about Spanish football. But you will note that there are expert contributions from Terry Gibson is in it. Albert Ferrer, we got a bit of Albert. Andrea Orlandi is in it. Diego Forlan, because I managed to grab a word with him at one of the La Liga events, and also Guillaume Balaguer, who gives us an interesting perspective on how the coaching in Spanish football has come into England. And there's just a lot of modern football examined, Terry, in there. Basically, a lot of this stuff, you know, what bits of the modern game do we embrace and is an obvious improvement on where we were, such as the tackling and stuff like that.
Yes.
But also, which bits of it is frankly nonsense? You know, which bits of it deserve to be closely interrogated? And so therefore, I asked a load of people whose views I respect, including you, Terry. And we had a chat. Well, the patrons have already heard some of that chat, haven't we? Because we recorded that, didn't we, and stuck it on.
Yeah.
So some of the old... You know how you played the game in the old days, and some of the just exposing a few modern myths, I suppose you'd say, in there as well. So there we are. Get It Kicked. It's called Get It Kicked, and it's by me. The Battle for the Soul of English Football. There we are. I will bang on about it a bit. If you know me, by the way, I've got some copies. So slight discount for cash, as we say. Speaking of discounts for cash, you're doing your own painting and decorating, Terry, aren't you? So,
I'll just as we started recording this, John did point out that my glasses were covered in paint.
Well, you thought it was snowing, and I was saying it's definitely not snowing. I don't know what you mean.
A close up look at my decorating by a professional decorator would be horrified. But I'm a bit like I was when I was playing, I'm a tryer. Yeah. Although I must admit, getting up and down the ladder because I'm 5'4" really does me head in. It's the only time I ever wished that I was maybe 5 or 6 inches taller.
You need
I spend three quarters of the time on a ladder just to get to the windowsill.
Yeah. You need Thibaut Courtois to come and give you. Oh, Marici, he's not going to the World Cup. He's got nothing to do for the next few weeks. He'll do those corners. We need to talk about. We had a chat the other day about the state of Spanish football. Obviously, you know, the bad news in the Champions League. It's been a grim old Champions League campaign. I'm going to put a few points that Darren sent us. It's a really good breakdown that he sent us, but I'll chuck a few things out. So recruitment would be one issue that he says. It's a fair point. He also says, in his opinion, Simeone has reached the end of the road. It's jarring how vulnerable Barcelona are in possession turnovers. He thinks there'll be a lot more turnover of players at Barca again. He doesn't know how they can possibly sign Messi, given the finances. But this is an interesting one. So 2 points, more general points. So Darren says, on La Liga as a whole, I think the cadence of play is hurting the strength of the league. The intensity levels aren't there compared to the top teams in the Champions League. And then he says, La Liga's financial rules are obviously having an impact too. It's commendable that Tebas is making an effort to ensure teams have their house in order, but it was introduced off the back of a force majeure of COVID, and there's no wiggle room. The league losing Messi was such a huge blow, bound to affect levels of sponsorship, not just for Barcelona. Now, Daniel makes some very good points with Daniel Marks about there's a case that La Liga is getting it right in the medium term, with the unfortunate caveat the potential of the Super League nullifies all of this. Atleti and Barca actually being punished rather than blindly propped up, and the balance sheets of Betis, Real Sociedad, Athletic, Villarreal are significantly less speculative than their Premier League or Serie A counterparts. And he gives the example of Bryce Mendes, for example, how much he costs compared to Arsenal paying for Fabio Vieira. So that's still happening, isn't it?
But did Arsenal pay for Fabio Vieira?
I don't know. I'm going to say 30, 40 million. I'll have a look.
I laughed, not because he's good, but compared to the price that Bryce Mendes cost.
Yeah, yeah.
For club-to-club transfers in La Liga is a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
And just a quick point there about that, the way that the style of play in Spain is not conducive to success in the Champions League. I would argue the refereeing makes
right
that difference. I think the games are refereed different in La Liga than they are in European competition. And Spanish players at times do look surprised when they are tackled, challenged, shoulder barged over.
Yeah.
And the officials don't give the same, they don't penalise it in the same way as they do in La Liga. So I think there might be an element of the refereeing, how they adhere to the laws of the game in La Liga, how different it is to Champions League and European football, that causes the Spanish clubs a problem.
I wonder also if you could actually link those two things together. So the speed of play, the nature of the refereeing in La Liga allows a slower rate of play.
More stops.
And the fact that games go on longer, which is a good thing because obviously you feel a bit robbed when they blow the whistle at 92 minutes and we've had all those VARs and all those stoppages and everything else, but I think the ideal would be that you didn't have all the stoppages, basically said, listen, get on with it, you know, force the pace
of it. I think the referees are in La Liga, they do stop the game too much, and there are fouls and there are sendings off. There was one this weekend, a straight red card for Gabri Vega. I just don't see it as a foul. And he's got a straight red card for it, and that went to VAR. And you look at those, I'm looking at the replays, and I'm thinking he's made a genuine challenge for the ball there. It might be a fraction of a second late, but his intention was to go for the ball. His studs weren't showing. The referee came out after VAR after looking, gestured that his studs were up and high. His feet it was on the floor. It was a genuine loose ball to be challenged for. I'm not even sure that would be given as a foul in other leagues. And yeah, this was a player who got a straight red card with no malice, no intent, just determination to win a loose ball that was there to be challenged for. And that is why, you know, if that is given as a red card, that's indicative of how it is so easy to get a foul in La Liga, apart from maybe when it comes into penalty area. But it is, so that leads itself to many breakups in play. So Danny Carvajal, yesterday, Girona had two really good attacks. On both occasions, he went down on the ground. He was laying on the ground trying to claim a foul to stop the attack on both occasions. And there was nothing wrong with either of those. There was a little bit of a shoulder connection on him for the first one. I think Valerie gets the header in. And the second one, Yango Herrera, it's the crossbar. Danny Carvajal again was on the floor. He didn't receive treatment. He got up. Eventually, he did go off injured. But it was, I think the players in Spain know that A, they can stop play by giving away a foul. So the tactical foul, that is stopped. The referee will blow a whistle straight away, but the players are prepared for that. And the other one, I think, is that if there is some sort of physical contact, They know if they go to the ground, then the referee will oblige and stop the game and give a free kick again. So I think that does generally have an effect on how the teams then... I mean, that's not the only reason. There's lots of reasons why.
Yeah.
Complacency in the opening games for Atletico Madrid is, I think, the reason they haven't been successful. I think the managerial style of Simeone now, where every game is cautious, apart from 27 seconds when they conceded a goal against Cadiz. I don't think they're touching the ball, but we'll come to Atletico a bit later about the team selection and stuff. But I think there are a number of reasons. Yes, the financial fair play rules in La Liga, but that can't be argued against. Barcelona went out and bought lots of players. You know, Sevilla, it's been a little bit tougher for them, but they've spent money. And it's, as you mentioned, Betis and Real Sociedad and one or two other clubs that are having to really cut their cloth that doesn't really make sense. But they're not suffering in European football. So we could argue that, you know, maybe Real Sociedad, Villarreal, Betis are doing well in their competition. So I think it's rather than indicative of how Spanish football is as a whole, because I have to be honest, I'm enjoying this season. I think every game is competitive. So I don't think we need to put it down to Spanish football in general. I think we need to look at the responsibility of the clubs that are in the Champions League from La Liga and pick them off individually and look at their faults rather than painting a bad picture of Spanish football as a whole.
Yeah, it's that balance though, isn't it? You're almost on a seesaw sometimes, aren't you? Because I think partly at the real peak of the Spanish clubs, I mean, you know, a couple of years ago, we're already talking, aren't we? Where they were dominating Europe. You look at the last 10 years or so, the Spanish clubs have won more trophies. Now, if you look at the UEFA coefficients over the last 5 years, obviously the Premier League has taken over. And what you wonder then, taking over the number one slot, is whether whether that will now translate into trophies going forward over the next few years. Because sometimes you're looking at the balance between the health of the league as a whole, which I think, as Daniel's point is not bad.
Yeah.
But sometimes you also need those top teams to you know, they were given a bit of a free hand at times, weren't they? With easy games, with some easy games along the way. Sorry about that.
Yep, totally.
Which allowed them then to thrive in the European competition. And there's a real fine line to be struck, isn't there?
Yes.
Between getting that right. Yeah, and I don't quite know where you go with it.
I think with the Spanish teams this year, Real Madrid are decent representatives. You know, they've had a couple of mishaps in the last couple of games, but I think they're going to have a chance of winning the competition again. Spain are probably going to have good representation in the Europa League. We could be looking at a Super League, a European Super Cup final next year between two Spanish teams again. So, and then do we say, oh, look at the strength of the Spanish League. It's really hard to pin down. There's been periods in the last 10, 15 years where everybody expected the Spanish team's domination to end. Bayern Munich against Dortmund in one Champions League final at Wembley, when Bayern Munich dismantled Barcelona and Dortmund were really good. Everyone's saying this is the period now of domination from the Bundesliga. We've had periods where, you know, there's been a couple of English teams in the final. We've been expecting a period of domination for them. It's going to be difficult for any of the European leagues now to dominate year after year after year. And certainly to emulate what the La Liga have done in the last 15 years with the Europa League success and the Champions League success. So I think it's just one of those things. I think we can look at it and in too much detail on why these teams have failed or why the Spanish football is failing, as opposed to, in my opinion, look at why Atletico Madrid and Barcelona in particular have failed, and Sevilla just made a mess up in the last 6 months. But I think Barcelona and Atletico are the ones we can look at in greater detail. And Barcelona, I think, have a bit of a crisis in European football at the moment now. They're doing well in La Liga. They don't concede goals. They go in the Champions League, play decent teams and concede left, right and centre. So there's a bit of a confidence crisis regarding a lack of their own sort of belief, lack of self-esteem in the Champions League. Now, where players are playing against Bayern Munich and expecting to get beat, they're not expecting to beat Inter Milan yet, but they go into the game at the weekend against Valencia away from home. They clearly looked as if they expected to win that.
It's weird, isn't it? I can't get in my head. That's why, you know, I was joking in the intro about you're going to explain exactly why. Because if you looked, you said where Barca were now pre-season. You said right, they have this number of goals. Lewandowski, well, he's got 13 out of their 29. Mm. They've got 10 clean sheets, and you'd say, oh, that's absolutely, yeah, obviously everything is going really well. I can't understand the defending where they look so vulnerable at times. And Alonso playing as a centre ended up, you know, because of the injuries and everything, ended up playing as a centre back in a four, injuries and bad planning, I think. I can't understand.
Yeah, I think Darren made a really good point in his
the transition
scouting.
Yeah.
Scouting.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
About, you know, player recruitment, because it kind of had a weird feel to it last year when they wanted Azpilicueta, Christensen, and Alonso from Chelsea. And you're thinking, they've obviously got a scout in West London. Is there anyone at Fulham or Brentford they fancy? And it was kind of the world of football is a massive place now. And you know, we praised people like Munchie in the past, and we will do again, unearthing gems from, you know, South America and stuff like that. Danny Alves, €400,000 from Brazil, came to Sevilla, and Munchie clearly says he's the best they've ever found.
Yeah.
Best transfer he's ever made. There must be others like
but
that.
You're
I know
going
we're not
back,
going to get
£400,000. The problem is,
I get that.
I think it all went wrong for Sevilla when Monchi basically put all his secrets on YouTube.
Which was a really good watch.
And they were. I just think at the time, when he was doing that, when Sevilla were recruiting these players, they were recruiting in a level of detail that other clubs just simply weren't. Other clubs were doing things like
hard.
Yeah.
They were working hard.
And basically, attention to
that's
detail.
What they were doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they you know, they were really working hard. I had the pleasure of being in his company for a couple of days and seeing how they worked. And it was pure hard work. It was just watching games and games and games.
But now,
and that was on crappy satellite feeds in their office at Sevilla at the Sanchez Pizjuan, and crappy televisions with crappy satellite boxes. Wires all over the place. It was like a school classroom. There was nothing sophisticated about it. It was just watching game after game after game, going live and watching games and studying every league in the world. We were maybe 10 people at the time.
Yeah.
For Barcelona, Sevilla can't do anymore because everyone knows if someone comes in, if Munchie looks at a player, everyone thinks, oh, we'll pull up the price.
But you've also
like
got
the Premier League tax.
The other people can work more smartly than they used to. That's the big difference, isn't it? So as you described that was going on, but no one else, very few other people were doing it. Now you can. You can. So the rich clubs can afford big networks. There are huge recruitment departments now. You can watch all the games in HD quality. You can sort through My Scout, FB Ref, all of these stat sites. So you're doing half the work. The stats, you know, no one sensible signs a player from their stats, but they narrow it down for you.
They do.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, but no one sensible does is my point.
No.
You know. But what you should do is you narrow it down. So you say, right, go and have a look at these six blokes who the stats are saying are brilliant.
Yes.
So basically people have caught up how it was done. And I don't know, how you keep the advantage going, because in time, if someone else has got the money and the determination, they'll overtake your smart, your clever hard work.
Even if like Barcelona have had this ongoing issue with, I talked about Danny Alves, we're right back.
Yeah.
Danny Alves has been their only decent one in God knows how long.
Yeah.
And he had to come back. I see he's training back at the club again. I'd sign him again now.
Yeah.
Because of the issues they've got in that position. But he wants to be fit for the World Cup. He's training with the B team. So why are you not even thinking of you either got nobody or you've got one in your B team?
Yeah.
Or go and sign a 19, 20-year-old that's going to be ready in a year or two, because they've spent all that time not being able to replace one player. So that recruitment procedure there tells you that it's failing. The fact they were just looking at mainly Chelsea players last season.
Yeah.
You know, and it must be saying go and win a Premier League, because Rafinha come from Leeds, Ferran Torres, obviously they knew, but he came from Man City.
It's a ridiculous place to recruit from, the Premier League.
Yeah. Not seeing them start being linked to any German players
they're all on crazy
French
wages.
Players that are not playing in Spain.
Yeah.
Couldn't they? French people playing in Spain. So the recruitment does seem a little bit as one of the things that they've got to organise since the changeover with
Bartomeu
leaving and Laporta coming in.
And Brighton, exactly. I've got kids, literally an 18-year-old Paraguayan kid. And I'm like, you know, where's he come from?
Yeah.
And obviously they're doing a lot of detailed work, the kind of thing that was the sort of thing that put Sevilla
ahead. Well, Madrid did it with Vinicius and Rodrigo.
Yeah.
Renier, we haven't seen yet, So it, that's my point, that Barcelona don't appear to be doing that. They've got a young right back coming through they can trust, but they've got Balde, that's clear.
Yeah.
But they can't find the right back, so they're still using Bellerin, Sergio Roberto, other players that play out can play out position. Balde can play on the right, but that's not ideal. You know, it's
and the other thing, there's a lot of money
indicative.
To be made. There's money to be made doing this as well. Because if you're Barcelona, if you go and sign the best Paraguayan teenager, there's no, and they'd come to Barcelona because of the name, because of the draw. Particularly South American kids would come because of the Spanish.
Yep.
And then you can, if they turn out to be half decent, even if they're not good enough for Barcelona, you can sell them for 10, 20 million or something. Yeah. That's what Premier League clubs are, you know, the smart ones. At Man City are selling players. Now, they're not selling De Bruyne and people like this, but they're selling other players and making money out of them. And, you know, and so it's not all oil money, is it? You know, there are some good practices going on.
And in fairness, I'm not sure if this is going to be in the bigger plans, the bigger picture of Barcelona, but Laporta has come in and having to deal a whole lot of stuff that's come his way.
Yeah.
Long-term plans, Jordi Cruyff is there. He might be looking at something along those lines further down the line. Let's fix this quick as best we can. Let's get players in as best as we can. In the future, we might see. But so we have to give them the benefit of the doubt. But it is really, really important for them to do it.
And be quicker. Really, really careful about giving out the length of contracts. If you sign Azpilicueta now, don't give him a long contract, whatever you do, because his best days are behind him. I see them linked with Kante. And like Kante, I love N'Golo Kante.
Incredible footballer.
Yeah,
incredible.
But not now.
Not seen him enough, have we?
No, he gets injured all the time, and it's sad. And he's a wonderful player, but please don't sign him and give him a long contract. It's just
And one may as well go on to their game in the weekend. Yeah. I thought they were good again.
Yeah.
And they did have injury issues. Both centre backs had to be replaced. We ended up with PK back on the pitch again, and Koundé going off will be a worry. Eric Garcia went off injured in the first half. Koundé in the second half. I'm going to say it now while we're on this topic. Cavani went off injured. Lo Celso went off injured.
Mm.
There is a degree now of, panic. I just felt a twinge.
Yeah.
Down I go, 3 weeks to the World Cup. So Barcelona had some troubles at the weekend. And Valencia were good. They were organised, determined, defensively. They were sound. Barcelona were finding it hard to break them down. I didn't think they were going to. I thought Valencia were going to get a point. I thought Barcelona deserved the win. I thought they had a more assertive team, and despite being away from home in a difficult stadium against a good team, I thought they still went at it full throttle and had that belief that they could get the goal. And eventually, with the changes that Xavi made, Rafinha coming on, livened things up. And I think there's something they've got to look at, the connection between Rafinha and Lewandowski. When Rafinha plays on the right, that connection between... It's not the first time we've seen it this season. And I think anything that can enhance the chances of Lewandowski scoring even more goals, somehow it's... you know, you've got to try and utilise that. But Xavi's changing from game to game. You know, the system of play, it's difficult because we've got this period of relentless game in, game out for every three days until the World Cup. It's going to be interesting how it all settles down. But it was a fantastic win for Barcelona. Good finish from Lewandowski. I think Barcelona were solid, looked really good, despite the difficulties of the past game in the Champions League. So it was a good response from them, I think, in the circumstances. Good win at Valencia. Cavani got off injured in the first 15 minutes, wasn't it? 18 minutes, went off injured. That helped them. But in general, I think it was a good, solid performance from Barcelona, and well-deserved 3 points in the end.
Yes, the World Cup thing is it's crazy.
Bonkers.
Yeah.
Yes, bonkers. They've got 3 games left. We've got 3 weeks to go, and we're still... All these big hitters have got 3 games left.
Yeah.
Around the European fixtures in those competitions. Fortunately for La Liga, only one of those matters this week. Atletico have got to get something to get in the Europa League, do better than Leverkusen. The rest are all either out or through or in the Europa League, qualifying, knocked down into that. So Atletico have got stuff to go for. But it's absolutely ridiculous. They're playing 3 games before players depart for international football. There's no build-up, is there, at the moment? I mean, I'm looking around the supermarkets, nothing.
Yeah.
I spend all my time in the supermarkets. So please don't paint and decorate around the supermarkets.
You haven't got your Panini album. No.
But there's nothing about, you know, it's suddenly going to hit dawn on us that, oh yes, we got this World Cup now that should have been last summer, and the interest, not as many people are going to go and watch it live, and the time of the year, and you know, clashes with I'm a Celebrity, get me out of here. But no, it's a Christmas World Cup. It's ridiculous.
And the rampant corruption that went into being given, all of that stuff. You know,
so we are seeing signs of that this week. The Real Madrid players, Barcelona players, are panicking, and club, teams in the Premier League as well. Lo Celso went down injured. Looked like he could carry on, wasn't having any of it. Went down again as soon as he was told by the physio, give it 5 minutes. Within 30 seconds, he went down holding his hamstring. It's just ridiculous. But we're seeing evidence. I've been waiting for it. I think we're getting it now. And I talked about Barcelona's good, solid performance. And, we'll look at Real Madrid's performance next, I would imagine.
Yeah, let's do that now then, shall we? So they drop points, which gives us a bit of... narrows the top of the league down to one, doesn't it? Whereas, late in the game, looked like Barca were dropping points. So then Real Madrid dropped points at home to Girona. There's a bit of controversy. I need to talk about the save from Gazzaniga.
From Asensio.
Yeah. Do that quickly. It was an amazing save, wasn't it? The reflexes. Because he hammers it at him from 6 yards or something.
Just outside the edge of the 6 yard box.
Yeah.
Turn and volley, so it could have gone right, left, straight down the middle. Fortunately for Gazzaniga, it's central.
Yeah.
And he's got a chance of making the
move,
save.
Doesn't it? Yeah, he still has to move his arm, doesn't it?
Either side of him. Yeah. In the corner, no chance from that range, but that power. Oh, it's brilliant. No, fantastic save. Yes. That would have been the second for Real Madrid. That would have been the game done. But I'm not going to be patronising and say, but before we talk about Real Madrid, let's talk about Girona. But this is an example of how this league is now. Girona were brilliant. Mm. Absolutely brilliant. They were almost faultless. The plan of any coach would be, let's avoid any stupid mistakes. Don't give them anything. Cheap. Don't give away cheap free kicks. Don't allow them too many crosses in the box. We're going to defend solid. Don't no one run back in and play everyone on offside. Avoid all those little mistakes that cost teams games in any game, but when you're playing away from home against Real Madrid. And let's not give the ball away cheaply. And they did that. They played out the back. They played through midfield. They kept possession. They showed great composure. They had the better chances in the first half. And it was against the complacent Real Madrid. And Girona, although it probably should have been a Real Madrid win in the end, because we talk about the circumstances in which Girona equalised, and the balance of play, Girona deserved something from that game. Yeah. And, it was unfortunate for Real Madrid the way it came. I think we both agree that we spoke briefly before we started recording. I can't see how Asensio can do anything different now. It's over. So it's cleared people's the penalty. It's cleared people's heads a yard in front of him. It doesn't look great in slow motion that he's flinching. Mm. I think that would probably be something Ancelotti would say, why are you flinching? Why are you sort of ducking your neck down and putting your arms in a weird position? It was almost, he didn't want to get hit by the ball. But he didn't put his arm out to block it. And there's some of the angles I'm thinking, well, that's hitting chest and shoulder.
It definitely hits him in the chest, doesn't it? It might have brushed a bit of arm. But I'd say I'm not convinced. I still haven't seen a clear angle that tells me it hit his hand. Clearly whacks him in the chest. And I think the refs say, he hit his arm as he moved his arm, as you say, as he flinched. But the ball didn't, we've lost what handball was again, haven't we? It's now the old zero tolerance again, isn't it? Because the ball didn't change line because it hit him at all, did it? It was going that direction. It hit him square in the chest and maybe flicked his arm, but it didn't move. Yeah. It didn't move the line of the ball. It's a crazy penalty. And then...
I must admit, I'm watching these games now. Sometimes it's difficult when you're co-commentating on the game. Watching this at home, I'm watching it and going, that's not good. Hey, that won't be given. Oh, it's given. I'm thinking, thank goodness I weren't on air then.
It's
because we're so confusing everybody now. The common sense approach was, that's not an apple, or that's a penalty. Why is that not given for something else? And we'll talk about one of those a bit later on. And it's really hard.
It was easier.
I'm sitting there thinking, I don't know whether that's handball or not.
It was easier to employ common sense in inverted commas. I'm not convinced there is such a thing as common sense, but it was easier to basically leave it to the referee, wasn't it? To say, because it was basically one guy and his official, and they had one look at it, And I think you get a common sense, instinctive answer if one guy has one look, and then you know the other guy wave his flag if he wants. Once you've started looking a time and time again and taking four minutes over these, then you can convince yourself anything. You know, you can convince yourself that was a handball. You can convince yourself it wasn't a handball. And so it's impossible to give this perfect answer to it in that case, because there are loads of them, aren't there? There are loads of them where it's close.
Yeah.
And anyway, yes.
And then we had the disallowed goal as well from Rodrigo.
Yeah.
Shortly around the same time.
Which was at least consistent with the...
Yes.
It's just last week, wasn't it? The one that they had disallowed, wasn't it, Jerome? Yeah. So the goalkeeper's pressing the ball down. He's got his hand on it. And it's Rodrigo, isn't it? Then kicks it. And he disallowed it straight away. And the rule is if you're pushing down on the ball, it's under control. So therefore...
Yeah. It's even with one hand.
Yeah.
And I think that was just about right. There was a little tricky bit where he pushed his hand on it and then tried to
He rolls it, doesn't he? Yeah.
He rolls it. Now, you're looking at forensically there thinking, at that split set, at that moment in time, has he got anything on it? But I think, bearing in mind the goal they had disallowed the week before, then, at least we had consistency there.
Yeah, yeah.
But Real Madrid, I'm convinced it's... With the bigger clubs, with the number of players playing in the World Cup, I'm convinced they're taking the foot off the gas. And I totally understand the players doing that.
They were complacent in midweek as well, I thought.
Calvajal had two attacks. Jurano had two attacks. He threw himself to the ground. And as I said earlier, and there was challenges. Fede Valverde wasn't at his most dynamic in terms of performance. And the only one that was, funny enough, was Modric again. Mm-hmm. Modric is playing like he can play every single day of the week. And he's up and down the pitch and he's putting tackles in. He's playing it exactly the same way. It's astonishing. But there are other players in the team now, Real Madrid. And I get it. Benzema's not playing at all at the moment. And the reason behind it is muscle fatigue.
Yeah.
So you can't tell me if it wasn't a World Cup in a couple of weeks' time that Benzema would be, out there playing in these games, at least playing an hour. And stuff like that. So I've been waiting for this to happen, and I think we're going to see not so much in Europe because a lot of things are decided, but in the remaining two games, I think we got in La Liga next weekend and midweek.
Yeah,
there's going to be some other twists and turns before players head off to World Cup duty.
12 teams are through in the Champions League already, aren't there? So we're almost there, aren't we?
Of the games, Barcelona's game against Victoria Pilsen. Let's put the under-15s out.
Well, but there are players who need a bit of playing time, aren't there? So you want Pilsen to see these guys.
And Barcelona are already in the Europa League. So that's going to be interesting. I think they're taking a reasonably strong squad, but as you said, there are players that do need to play. And there'll be some players knocking around in La Liga and the Premier League that think they've got an outside chance at the World Cup, and the good form at the moment might get them in the squad. So most of the players probably aware of they're going to be in the squad or not be in the squad. But there are players, Mika Marina played really well last night for Real Betis. He's got an outside chance of going, so he's trying to prove a point. So it's for Barcelona players and someone like Ansu Fati, whose form needs to be better, but we have to be patient. It might be a good opportunity for him to score two or three goals in a game in a meaningless fixture and just make Luis Enrique think about, mind you, what does he know? How can you pick five goalkeepers and not De Gea isn't one of them? Other than that is just absolutely... you see who saves his mates against West Ham yesterday. You can't tell me that there has to be something, an issue there that's not going to change by losing
Enrique.
Isn't
he?
It's just, I think you're handicapping your team by not having clearly the best goalkeeper Spain have got. Clearly.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like Belgium not picking Courtois. That's the same level to me. And saying he's not particularly good with a ball at his feet. De Gea should be number one for Spain. The fact he's not in the top five is ludicrous. So anyway, I just went off it.
Right. Carry 3, Atletico Madrid 2.
Oh, goodness me. 27 seconds, John. 27 seconds. And you were right. They'd only scored 3 before this game all season. They scored 3 in this game.
And I was making up those stats, but they have had 24 shots on target this season, of which 7 were in this game. It's unbelievable. How do you concede 3 goals against Cadiz?
They've been playing better lately and they've got a little bit of confidence, but there's no way this should be anything other than a win for Atletico Madrid. It just has to be with them. They're failure in midweek in the Champions League. They've got a big game coming up that they've got to get a better result than Leverkusen to go through into the Europa League. And I'm thinking this could have dire consequences for Simeone. And then I'm reading that the club are going to offer him another 2-year extension on the back to show their support and stuff. Yeah. I mean,
It's mad, isn't it? Just, I mean, if you don't want to sack him, fine, don't sack him. But you don't have to give him a new contract. Certainly not when he's paid.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's catastrophic. I mean, there's an 8-point gap now. Recently, they were close. They were getting close again. And as a recent podcast, I said, we're going to have a 3-team race. Mm. And then they just completely capitulate. He's driving me mad with the change of system. It was 3 at the back again this week. I've got the team here. Savic, Witzel, and Reinildo. With a 3. Jimenez on the bench didn't even come on. And I think it's clear that they're best with a back four and they're best with Savic and Jimenez playing together. Mm. In recent weeks, Jimenez has been on the bench and Mozo's been playing and stuff like that. I'm thinking there was a game against Sevilla recently away from home. This is the really bewildering issue with Atletico at the moment, that they sort of lurch from one game to the other with totally different teams, different systems, and different levels of form. Against Sevilla recently, I thought it was the most Atletico Madrid-type performance I've seen in a couple of years because they won the league. You know, we shouldn't forget that. But it had all the hallmarks of, well, they've made mistakes in the Champions League. I think it was after a Champions League game, they've bounced back, they've gone to Sevilla, they've dominated the game, they're players in the right positions, they're playing, in my opinion, the right system. And it really did work. They looked good. Then the next game, it was a different system, different players. I get rotation of players. No one's got any rhythm at Atletico Madrid. João Félix comes on and has the game of his life for half an hour. But we haven't seen that on a regular basis. And the reason, I think he ignored all orders from Simeone at the weekend, João Félix. It looked to me like a player that thought, but I don't care anymore what happens here.
And I'm going to show. Cup squad.
Not so much that, but he feels like I do like his attitude at times, João Félix. He can be a bit of an individual, but I think the type of player he is, he needs that attitude. And he was down the right, he was down the left, he was dropping deep, he was centre forward. And it was just almost like a player saying, I know you don't fancy me, but I'm going to go out and be myself. Yeah. But is there going to be a room in Atletico's team for João Félix playing that role? No.
No.
And every now and then he shows you his quality, shows you his form. First goal was Hernandez, it's a deflection. Second goal was brilliant. He probably should have scored with a header. This is in the space of 30 minutes. But I look at the lineup, I have no idea who's going to play in midfield. I have no idea who's going to play up front. I have an idea who should play at the back, but it never happens. Reguilón was on the bench at the weekend. Completely forgot about him. He might help them. Hmm. But Reinildo's all right at left back. So it's a real, you know, it's a mystery to me how Atletico are messing up their season again.
Is it all down to Simeone?
Yeah, but no, this is on the back of him at the end of last season saying he knew exactly the mistakes he's made.
But he didn't.
The solutions.
Yeah,
it's my fault, and I know what I've been doing wrong, and we're doing it. He's doing exactly the same again.
Fascinating for someone to play him that interview and say, "So what was the answer?" because we can't see any difference.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. No. So I thought it was a refreshing interview. It was really honest, and he took all the blame. But he's making the same mistakes again.
But it's easy to take the blame. You're not really taking the blame, are you? In a sense, you know, if you really take, he wasn't offering to resign. He wasn't taking a pay cut or anything. Was he? He was just, my fault. It's just a cheap way of taking a bit of pressure off the players. It's okay every now and again for a coach to use a bit of spend a bit of your credibility, say, yeah, it's my fault. Oh, it's all down to me, lads.
Yeah.
But that's not a proper answer, is it? Not unless something then changes. And
exactly. That's what I expected this year, a system of play adhered to every week with, I know I've been complaining about the amount of games players are playing, but some sort of consistency with the team selection. Yeah. There is consistency whatsoever.
Yeah, because João Félix, it was a terrible move for him to go and play for Simeone, it turns out.
Yeah.
And he's been there a long time now. And, you know, the wages are such that, and the transfer fee are such that it's hard for him to get out, isn't it? So he's there a bit trapped.
And then the nature of this game was classic Atletico, wasn't it? 2-0 down, he makes substitutes. They then go attacking. Concede after 27 seconds is an absolute joke. Yeah, it really is. No one's concentrating. No one's focused. And suddenly an opening and Theo Bongonda scores. They go 2-0 down. Good goal from Alex Fernandez. But this is Atletico Madrid. It shouldn't be that easy to create chances.
Yeah.
Then they make the changes. Griezmann comes on 60 minutes again. That's a surprise. Even though there's no need to kick to that rule when he was 60 minutes, he was on and João Félix was on. And they livened up. And they get back to 89th minutes goal from João Félix. He then has a header where he probably should have scored. And then Cadiz have an attack. Ruben Sobrino, I'll be kind, bundles the ball home at the far post. There was a hint of the use of the arm there as well, you know. But it was given by VAR and a memorable victory for Cadiz. Much needed win in that group of teams on 10 points, which has left Elche. Suddenly you go, oh, Elche.
We go
against Hetafe Monday night.
We don't talk about Elche, Terry. We never discuss Elche. Just
they're a Monday night team.
Yeah, and it doesn't fit our narrative of a nice, strong La Liga all the way through.
Yeah.
Because they got 4 points and they only play Mondays. Can we do Villarreal? Because they lost to Athletic. I thought they started all right.
An hour. They were really good. Much better team.
Yeah.
It did look really good, but they didn't have any end product.
Ended up with 15-2 against shots, which is, you know, for a team that started the game looking good. You think,
It was when Lo Celso went off.
Yeah.
That's when their performance level changed and the performance of Athletic went up a notch.
Yeah.
But by the end of the game, you're looking at it and thinking that second half performance. And Kike Setién admitted it in the second half that his team were outplayed. It could have been should have been 3 or 4 goals to nil. So a little bit of a concern. A VRL, an aging team with players missing through injury. Actually, the squad isn't as strong as we thought it was going to be, I think. You know, when you think Gerard Moreno was a massive miss.
Yeah.
You know, one or two other players, Albiol, surprisingly, ace. There's a couple of players that are going to have the benefit of Kike Setién. Isamendi is one of them who's playing at the expense of Albiol. Personally, I'd still play Albiol, but I think there's issues about he's had a recent injury issue and he's been on the bench, but he was on the bench at the weekend. And Lo Celso, I'd be pleased to be working with Setién again. He produced some good form under him at Betis. So they're the two. But when you look around it, you think, oh, that's a bit thin. I did mention last year, though, the midfield. Alex Bayane has been, you know, useful and a help this season, but he was missing at the weekend, suspended. But so I just thought that the ageing midfield might be an issue for Villarreal. Be interesting to see what Kike Setién does. But there's no doubt he would be helped by Gerard Moreno coming back.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he's such a decisive player for Villarreal. Is he going to make the World Cup? Probably not now. I don't think you could take him now, do you?
No. No, no, no. It's 26 man squad is the case for taking an injured player. But, but I don't know when you get him on the pitch though. At what point is he going to be fit enough to make an impact? I maybe would actually. I mean, you need to know. Don't you need to know how fit he is? But you want to see him on the pitch.
Yeah.
And they've got a Conference League game and 2 La Liga games. That's right, isn't it? And then that's it, isn't it? I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Athletic were fantastic. Once they got into their stride, played with pace and skill and Iñaki, to the extent that when Iñaki gets through for that chance, the part of me immediately thought he's going to miss it. And then I said, no. In that time that it took for him to have 2 or 3 touches, I went from, oh, he's going to miss that, to actually, no, I fancy him here. And he slotted it home. And the scoreline should have been more significant for Athletic Club, but they played really well. And a good win for Athletic.
Massive win for Betis, isn't it? In that race for what should we call that? The race for third? We should probably.
Why would we say Atletico are nailed on for third?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I don't think. Yeah, third and fourth really up for grabs.
Yeah.
And Betis, big win. Got outplayed from lots of parts of this game. Real Sociedad are really difficult to process because they play really well. They're an attacking team.
But never
score. Don't create many chances and never score.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't criticise the way the team's set up. You can't criticise, you know, the ambition of the team. So it's a really tough one to put your finger on why got decent players up front. Even Soloff and Carlos Fernandez are still good. I know Sadiq's a big loss for his injury. Mo Cho is injured as well. David Silva's missing, but the quality around the pitch is still down. They probably deserve to win that game, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
And then get picked off twice at the end from a team that have quality when they play on the break. The other team's kind of forgotten that defending is still an issue because it's 0-0, and they're going all out for the win, and they're committing players, and they left themselves home to a couple of really good counter-attacks, and Betis were able to finish it off, finish them both off.
Yeah.
They're massive, massive. A really good game of football as well. Really good game.
Alex Moreno's in the provisional squad, isn't it? The leaked provisional squad for Spain, isn't he?
I don't know. I've been able to see it, other than the goalkeepers.
Right. Okay. I think it was leaked. Yeah. I think I've seen it, and I seem to remember his name on it as well. I'll look it up while you tell me how much.
Yeah, I was trying to find it yesterday, couldn't find anything other than David De Gea. And the five goalkeepers and him not being one of them. And I was thinking, I'd like to see Gabri Veiga, I think he's in it.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
The Celta Vigo youngster who scored when we covered their game. Yeah. So I was looking to see more interesting, to see if there was any interest. It's a lot of players, 55.
Yeah.
But they said they've not been obliged, you don't have to announce it publicly.
No.
And I couldn't find it.
No. Well, I don't... How do I know? I seem to think Alex Moreno's on the list, and I don't know why.
They covered well at left back, though, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, you're Jordi Alba and Gaia. Is Marcos Alonso still getting it?
I'm going to say yes.
I think he's still been in the. I'm not sure if he's been in the squad. You could go with Balde as well. He's another good left back, Alex Moreno. So they're well covered at left back.
Yeah.
I think they have issues at right back, probably. Carvajal is the obvious choice. Then after that, you're looking around thinking it was Azpilicueta, who's completely different to Carvajal. So.
Yeah. He's not a modern right back, is he? That's pretty close.
No, he used to be. He was when he was, a few years back.
Yeah.
He's a good right sided central defender in a three now.
Mm.
But not, he can't play right back in a four, and you're expecting him to push up and down the pitch. It's just not possible.
Can we talk about Sevilla? So they lost again.
Incredible.
They are, as I said, the oldest team, I think, in the Champions League in terms of their playing staff. I think that's the case in La Liga as well. And I think if you look at, you tend to think, oh, no, that won't last. But I had a quick look at some of the underlying stats, XG differential and that kind of stuff. And they're where they belong. They're where they are.
Yeah.
It's not...
Outplayed at the weekend.
Yeah.
By Rayo. Mm. And Rayo were good. I mean, there were some really good results already this season. Really liked watching them play. And Rayo were a better team.
And did them with a long ball really early on. Yeah. And then a couple of times on the goal was a long ball as well, wasn't it? He played the long... And then it was a while before he scored. But I don't... they're another team. I don't understand why they defend like they defend Sevilla. It just seems to be too easy to turn around.
And Sampaoli playing with no recognised striker until they go behind and he starts putting them on.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why that's become a thing. It's been three recognised centre-forwards. Yeah. Plays the Miller up front.
Is he making a point for January?
Why would you do that, though?
Yeah, I don't know.
And
the
risk losing. When you've only just taken over, you're not under pressure. Yeah. You're not going to get the sack. You've just got the job.
Yeah.
So you have to work with the club. You can make your feelings known, but don't just go out and handicap your team by not playing a striker.
It's not like he's had windows. It's not like he's had transfer windows, is it? And not got what he wanted.
And so Sevilla. No, I mean, you're looking at it now. I don't see any way for them top four. No way.
Oh yeah. I'm talking about whether they avoid relegation or not.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you're still looking at it two or three games ago thinking, well, they're alive enough. They've got a new manager. Yeah. They've got good players. Results are not improving. They're not scoring goals. It needs a real good sort out. As you said, the age of the squad is an issue. It's just a number of similar players in the squad that there's, you can chop and change the midfield players and the wide players. And there's not a lot of difference. Do they lack strength at the back? Yes. Who's playing right back? Is it Montiel? Is it Navas? Is it Carmona? Is it left back? Is it Tellez? Is it Acuna? It's who's going to be centre backs? I think that's the, they need to, even who's playing in goal these days, you're not sure. So I think it's, it looks like Sampaoli's having to look at everybody apart from the three strikers.
Yeah.
And trying to work out a system and work out, you know, who's the strongest 11. But they, yeah, no, it's a real interesting story. This 12 games in and they're in the relegation zone. It's not five, six games. This is 12 games in now.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not, you can't point to any freakish results or anything, can you? Oh, well, they were unlucky. They should have won this one, should have won that one, should have won that one. You look back, no. You sort of think, I can't, you know, they probably are where they deserve to be.
Yeah.
And like I said,
Rio had 15 shots, five on target.
Yeah.
With 37% possession.
Yeah.
Sevilla, they have a lot of passing around that doesn't lead to anything, doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, it's because no one's ahead of the ball. Because Lamela hasn't got that instinct to play up front with his back to goal. You shouldn't expect him to be like that. He's an attacking midfielder, at best, probably an attacking wide midfield player. And when Sevilla got the ball and looked to play forward, at times they were looking forward and there was literally nobody to pass the ball forward to.
Yeah.
So they had to either go on a dribble or pass it sideways or backwards, and the momentum was lost in the attack. Rayo is a great, great team. Really good to watch. I mean, so when I say great team, they're not around Madrid or Barcelona or Bayern Munich or anything, but I'm talking about for their standards. I'd kind of like, now this is an away game, I'd kind of like to go and watch a game at Vallecas with the atmosphere at the stadium and the atmosphere with the players and overnight. and I probably wouldn't be able to buy a shirt on the day if I wanted to show my support or a scarf. But no, I think Antony Iraola and his team deserve so much credit.
Yeah, by the way, I'm not a fundamentalist on use of the word great, by the way. I think you can have a great cup of tea, honestly. It's fine. You don't have to reserve the use of the word great for Pelé, Maradona, and Messi. They're a great team. Rayo Vallecano doesn't mean they would beat Brazil 70. there's another argument. They probably would.
That's, I think, with any context of what club the club is.
Yeah,
as well,
yeah, 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 yeah.
Budget,
yeah.
What they've spent. Manager's first job in the top flight.
Yeah, if they go back to being a second division team,
18 points
in 50 years' time, look back. They say, "Oh, that was a great era for Rayo Vallecano."
Yeah,
but, you know, yeah.
18 points they've got, ninth position again.
Came
up last year, we thought, "Oh, they go down."
Yeah, while you're praising teams for their relative performances, Osasuna.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. I mean, we're nice about Osasuna. I don't know what we say about Osasuna that isn't. I think there's a tendency that we repeat ourselves. Basically, we admire them. They're really good.
Really well run club.
Yeah,
that's learned on the job over the years, and is really good now. I love the atmosphere at the stadium. There's a sense of togetherness with them, the supporters, and they're an enjoyable watch, not only because of how they play, but because of that player-fan relationship.
Yeah.
I think they're unique. Them and Rayo, I think, are the two clubs in La Liga that have this faithful relationship with fans. And it really, you know, the celebrations after the game, the Rayo players, it's replicated by Osasuna. There's a real togetherness about that club. And the club, as I say, well-run club, good manager, and underrated players galore.
Yeah,
and I have so much time for Osasuna. I really do. I think they're terrific.
Yeah, terrific. Yeah, one of the great all time teams.
They're a top team.
Jimmy Avila, one of the all time greats. Yeah,
yeah. The nose must have jangled when he hit the penalty.
Oh,
penalty record isn't great. Yeah. Struck it well. It was
hit
in the
it hard against the post, didn't they? Yeah,
and
yeah.
It bounced across and went in on the other side. And Moy Gomez won it. There's another one for Al. You're talking about the Bryce Mendes.
Smart recruitment, yeah.
€1.5 million in his 20s.
Yeah.
Ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah. Almeria beat Celta Vigo by 3-1. You've already referred to the Gabby Vega. So he scored and got sent off, which is fairly crucial in the game, wasn't it?
Oh, they won. They were up 25th minute. He scores a worldie. Stunning goal. Long range, didn't look like he had the right technique, but it didn't look like he was going to be able to set himself up quick enough to get the shot away, and he did. Flew in the top corner, and then he goes in for a challenge in the 32nd minute. VAR look at it, sent off. They held out to half time in the second half, they were overrun by Almeria, so he clearly did change the game.
Yeah.
He's a really talented young player, he is. Gabriel Vega. He's going to go a long way in the game, I think. Celta have done well there.
Yeah.
To produce a player like that. And I'm looking at, you know, Almeria, a decent result for them, decent season so far, 13th point a game.
Yeah.
Or just above a point a game. I think they're having a decent season, to be honest, Almeria.
Yeah.
Lazaro Vinicius, great name, got the equaliser. De La Hoz got the one to put them ahead. And then when they were running the clock down with Aguero's going the 96th minute, holding the ball in the corner, and someone suddenly thought, oh, go on a little Maisie here, go on a dribble. And they end up getting the third. So that was a tough result on Celta.
Yeah.
And Celta have had a few of those. They need to actually, you know, look at them. 11 points, 15th position. I think they should be doing a touch better than that, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, it's remarkably close, isn't it? Cadiz in 19th.
There is, yeah.
Yeah. And Espanyol 1 point above them in 14th place. And then obviously, well, we need to talk about Mallorca and Espanyol, don't we? So one all draw. And this was one, the non penalty, wasn't it, in this one that caused the controversy at the end?
Yeah. Marici gets a good goal. Jose Carlos Lazo gets a good goal. And Mallorca were the better team in this one. Espanyol were hanging on the touch all the way through the game. And it was a foul. I think it's in the 86th minute foul on Angel by Brian Olivan, who's a former Mallorca player. It's a blatant foul. At first, the ball deviates to the right, and you're thinking, oh, maybe that's the reason the defender gets a touch. You see the replays from different angles. It's Angel Rodriguez who gets the touch, the striker. The defender doesn't get any contact with the ball. It's a clear penalty. It really is. And they used to have that common sense approach. You just got to look at that once. Maybe at each angle. For VAR official, of course, yes, a foul.
Yeah.
It's a foul.
Yeah. What are we enduring?
It's not there was contact. It's because contact's not always a foul. This is not just contact. Yeah. This is a foul.
Tripped him up when running for the ball. Yeah.
Knocked him over in the penalty box and hasn't made contact with the ball. So therefore, everyone explodes.
Yeah.
And it cost Mallorca a chance to win the game in the dying minutes.
Yeah. Cool. Right. Well, I think we're done.
I said a dying minutes, 86 minutes. Still 20 minutes left to play in the La Liga.
Yeah, games in the La Liga last 100 minutes these days.
It's nine. Nine is the norm. Nine is the new three now.
Yeah.
Some games I'm looking and thinking, well, how have they got nine?
Yeah.
You know, but someone's keeping a check on it all.
Yes. Right then, I'm going to plug my book one more time. Well, no, I say one more time. One of many more times. There we are, everybody. Get It Kicked by John Driscoll. There we are. And if you want a signed copy, you know where you find me. Although, actually, if I'm signing them, it helps if you're in the UK and in Northern Ireland, because otherwise it costs a fortune to post it, and you can get them on Amazon anyway. Right. Okay. So we're not going to talk about Elche because Terry, we don't talk about Elche.
Yeah, they need a win against Getafe. They desperately need a win. That gap's getting significant. They need a win and won a game. They need a win before the World Cup.
Yeah, and then we'll have a chat later in the week for the Patreons only. There's not much. Well, there's nothing to talk about in the Champions League. Well, we'll see where Atleti end up. So we might actually take some questions. Actually, thinking about it because the games are not that fascinating, are they? In Europe, at
some good league games next week as well.
Yeah, and then we're into
some good games. Yeah. Betis Sevilla derby.
Yeah,
Real Madrid go to Rio as well.
Yeah,
on Monday evening.
Oh, is it? Oh, I hadn't clocked that was Monday. Okay, yeah, we'll have to figure out when to do next week, because then there's a midweek. We're straight into the midweek after that, aren't we? So, and then we stop for the World Cup, and we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll stop feigning injuries and make ourselves available. Right, okay. Thank you very much, Terry. Thank you very much, everybody, and thank you very much to the Patreons, patreon.com/LTEL, and we'll see you all soon.